holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
You know that health is wealth and ital is vital. They're not just some rhyming words. It's something that's just got to be heard. Who is responsible for your health? Look in the mirror, it's your very own self. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Jogging with the herb of the field for the healing of the nation. Fruit and vegetable for medication. So much food, so much variation. Sustenance for all generation. It's there in abundance. Vitamins and minerals and whole heap of nutrients. Anti-inflammatory and antioxidants. Give your temple a chance. Cause health is wealth, ital is vital. You gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Vegan, we're vegan. Plant BS, we say. Long time Rastafari. Say I dey so he dey. Ital, we ital, nah go no way. And that we root and we fruit and we vegetable all the way. Cause health is wealth, ital is vital. You gotta take care of yourself.
And good afternoon, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also change your life and health around. I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able, trusty, reliable, assistant, and program director, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing today, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, Doc. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday.
Giving Tuesday.
Yeah, please consider WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio in your gift giving. No amount is too small. Go to WPFWFM.org and click the Donate Now button. Thank you so much in advance.
Yes, yes, yes. And there's nothing better you can do than to donate to this station, because it brings so much information. And today, we have another outstanding guest, one that is well known to some of you, because I've had him on the program before. It's been several years, but Al Smith is a leader in mole remuneration.
Al Hawkins,
I'm sorry. I got Hawkins right here in front of my face, brother. Okay. Al Hawkins is well known in the area. And he's been in business since 1985. That he started right after the Million Man March. And so we are just pleased to have him here. Welcome today, Mr. Hawkins, Brother Al.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
So now, how did you get into the mole remuneration business?
Well, I used to be an insurance executive, and for 17 years, I had 50 agents, and they were, we had a lot of fun. We put a lot of coverage on people, but when it was time to go, I knew it, because having 50 agents is like having 50 children that never grow up. Mm-hmm. So I told them that I was going to sell the office. They could band together. They had my contract, and we were going to part. And at the same time, the Million Man March was coming up, and most of them had people coming from out of town. I said, well, let's all meet here. We'll go down to have some fellowship, and then we'll go down together. And that's what we did. One guy that came with him was named Roy Johnson from Columbus, Ohio. Uh-oh. He had invented a lead-based paint encapsulation product that actually worked. A kid would have to have a jackhammer to get through it. Mm-hmm. And he explained to me that a piece of lead the size of a grain of sugar administered to a child, 6 days later, that child will have lost one IQ point permanently. Mm-hmm. And that got my attention. And I worked with Roy for many years. And in 2009, I parted with him, and I told him, in honor of the tutelage that he gave me and all the teachings, that I would name my company after where we met. We met at the Million Man March, and the company is Millman Systems.
All right, now.
But I did tell him I was going to concentrate on mold only, because nobody understood it.
And so, you know, is mold dangerous? And if so, why?
Well, it's very dangerous. And I think the most dangerous part about it is that people tend to overlook it.
Uh-oh.
And it's stealthy. Most of the time, it's behind the wall. If you see it, you're lucky, because the majority of the time, you won't see it. But what comes off of it is mold spores that people, and they find their way in the living space, even if it's behind the wall, and people inhale these spores daily, all day long. And most molds are carcinogens. They, depending on the substrate that they're feeding on, they can be cancer causing.
So now we think about mold in our homes and the workplaces and so forth, but what about mold on our food? I know I have food in refrigerator. I started to say icebox, you know, don't want to tell my age. We have mold in refrigerator, food in the refrigerator, and sometimes it gets moldy. What is that all about?
Well, that's a good sign, because that tells you you don't have preservatives that you're eating. I think eating the mold off of food may be a little less serious than eating preservatives that are in the food. So, yeah, not that the mold is something to be overlooked, because it's very serious. We have the honor to have, you know, we not only take care of mold in homes, but we also take care of it on crops. And we've produced a product that does just that. And one of the main molds that it combats is called Fusarium. Fusarium is a mold that attacks a lot of crops, tomatoes and cucumbers, but it's devastating the banana industry right now. Colombia, South America, is losing billions of dollars as we speak because of Fusarium. And if you recall, a couple of months back, there were a couple of Chinese nationals from Michigan State University who got caught bringing some of the Fusarium in the country.
Wow.
To practice agro-terrorism. And one of them fled back to China, but the other's in jail right now. And they had a conversation with an old military guy, and he said, you know, if they caught one, there's 20 of them that got through. And sure enough, I did some research, and Fusarium is in the fields all over the U.S. right now. And it's mainly in the wheat and the grains.
Mm. Mm. No wonder the price of bread is going up.
Yeah. No, that's not the reason for that. But
okay,
they ought to give us a discount on Fusarium bread.
So this Fusarium bread, is there a way of getting rid of it?
The only way, it's a soil-borne fungus, and it can lay dormant in the soil for decades. Mm. But as soon as you plant, put a crop in the ground and water it, it will come up through the root of that plant. Mm. And it gets into the meat of the plant. Give you an idea. This wasn't Fusarium. This one is Sagatoka negra. A couple of years ago, I was peeling a banana at my kitchen table. And I was called by my wife, and I got up. I laid the banana down, raw banana down on top of a napkin, and went to see what she wanted, came back, picked the banana up, and the napkin was black. Mm-hmm. So I examined it. I looked at the skin. The skin looked perfect, but this soil-borne fungus had gotten into the roots and come up and gotten into the meat of the banana. And the first thing that came to my mind was how much of this is getting pressed and put into baby food. Mm-hmm. And we've got some serious problems. Mm-hmm.
So how do you know that you got mold in your house or at work or, you know?
Well, you can usually, you can go by several things. Visual, if you got spots on the wall, don't ignore them. You can go by smell. Oftentimes you won't smell it, but, sometimes you will. So if you smell something that's out of ordinary, do not ignore it. Some people itch. From certain types of mold, Aspergillus penicillium will cause you to do that. Some folk will have respiratory issues. Do not ignore it. And one of the things you can pay attention to is if you feel better when you leave your home or workspace, then you know something's wrong in that space. You know, if you leave out and feel better, then you know something's wrong. One of the ways you can tell also is examine the return vent in your home. That's the biggest vent that you have in the home. And it pulls air in maybe 5 or 6 times a day. It will pull all the air in your house through that vent. And consequently, that vent will get dirty. It might not be just dust. You can have it tested. We'll come out, do a tape lift of it, and test it, send it to a laboratory to test and see exactly what type of mold it is. You want to look at your filter in your home as well. Now, not just the return vent, but also the supply vents. If you've got mold on the supply vents, then you got to really pay attention, because that tells me that it's not only on that vent, but it's all throughout your ductwork. When it goes through the return vent, immediately it will go through a filter. And most people don't pay attention to the type of filters that go in, that they place in their unit. They should be the paper accordion type. And on the package, they're rated for mold, and they generally last 90 days.
Okay.
So when you're changing that filter, don't just pull it out and walk to the garbage can with it. You're releasing invisible spores that the filter just trapped. So when you change that filter, you should have a plastic bag right there. Mm-hmm. Gently slide it into the plastic bag. You can then grab the top of the bag and walk with it. But I've actually seen people snatch the filter out and wave it as they're walking to the can with it. Yeah. So no, that's a big no-no. Mm-hmm.
I've not taken it out and put it in a plastic bag, so I'm gonna start doing that from now. Yeah. So what are some of the health effects that can occur if you inhale some of these mold spores?
Yeah. Well, it depends on your susceptibility. Immunocompromised people are generally at big risk. The elderly, from taking medications that deplete their immune system. It's all about the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
If they're taking drugs that deplete their immune system, then they would have big problems. Infants should never be around. Their immune system is developing. So mm-hmm. they should never be around mold of any type because it goes directly to their organs. The length of exposure will dictate, the severity of your reaction to mold. The extent of the growth, some molds may have just occurred. They will be a little less harmful than the one that's been there for a number of years. But they're all dangerous. Aspergillosis is a respiratory tract infection that is very prevalent. Asthma. People with asthma, they have what they call extrinsic asthma. So you can gain asthma even if you never had it before. If you go to a house, let's say in Baltimore, you open the door to the basement, you don't have to go down the stairs. You can feel the dampness and you can smell the mold. And that's because of the old brick or stone foundation walls that don't allow running water, but just enough dampness will come through to create the sporulation or mold reproductive process. That's why Baltimore and people sit in the house all day inhaling this, they develop asthma.
Mm.
Baltimore has almost, according to CDC, has almost twice the asthma rate as the state of Maryland.
Wow.
Philadelphia as Pennsylvania.
Mm.
Detroit, Memphis, right on across the country. And guess who's disproportionately affected?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some molds produce mycotoxins. There are several of them that do a lot of harm, but we know for certain one is called in a group called trichothecin mycotoxins are cancer forming.
Mm.
So, what would tend to cause mold to build up in a person's home or workplace?
Well, you have to start first with water. I gave a talk years ago out at Bowie State University. 200 people were there. And after I finished talking about mold, the moderator asked the audience, she said, I want to see a show of hands of anyone who has not had a leaky roof, burst pipe, or flooded basement. And nobody raised their hand.
Mercy.
So it's a very prevalent thing. This is why I branched off from lead and asbestos to concentrate totally on mold, because no one understood it. And it's very serious. And even those that see it in their homes, they'll see the spots on the ceiling or wall in their bathrooms, and they'll ignore it. You should not do that. They'll have floods in the basement. The drain outside the door will back up. Water come through the wall, and they'll clean it up. They'll get a shop vac and they'll clean it and they'll wipe the drywall down. And sometimes they'll get rid of the carpet. But what they forget is that the water touched that drywall, and though you may have cleaned the front of it, it also hit the back of it. Mm. So then the mold will grow in on the backside of the drywall where you can't see it.
So if I see mold, you know, should I try to get rid of it myself?
Well, in the three jurisdictions, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, D.C. currently is the only one that has guidelines for what to do with mold. and they have regulations for mold remediators, and they list licensed mold remediation people and assessors for the public's benefit. Maryland is currently playing with a law. Senator Shanika Henson introduced it, and I think it's going to go into effect in next year, 2026. But in D.C., the regulation is that if you have mold less than 10 square feet, then, yeah, you can go ahead and get rid of it yourself. But if it's over 10 square feet, and 10 square feet is not that big an area, you know, just imagine 2 feet by 5 feet. And that's the mold that they suggest you can get rid of yourself. And you've got to cut this mold out. Sometimes you have surface mold from humidity. It'll build up from humidity, but most of the time, if you can't wipe it off, and you should be protected with gloves and masks, N95 masks, and some overalls, if not a Tyvek suit, you can wipe it off. I suggest you use a disinfectant. We like to use a disinfectant called Odorban, which you can get from Home Depot or Lowe's. And you don't have to dilute it. Just wipe it off and have a bucket there to rinse the rag out and keep wiping it till it's gone. If it does not go, if you can still see it in the drywall, then I would suggest calling the remediator.
So, first of all, this is not Mr. Al Hawkins. Mm-hmm. we're so happy that he's with us. If you have a question or comment, we want you to give us a call. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. With questions or comments for Mr. Hawkins. We're talking about mold in your home, in your workplace, in your food, you know. It's everywhere, And we need to recognize that it's something that is very, very serious. So you say that if it's not too large an area, then it's we can try to get rid of ourselves.
Yes.
But even then we need to know what to do, how to do it.
Yes. And just a bit of advice also on getting rid of it. Again, you should be covered. And if you have problems, if you have immune system problems, asthma, something, you should not touch it under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Regardless how small it is.
Yes, yes. You know, you get somebody who's got a healthy immune system, you can cover them up, put a mask on them, gloves, and they can get rid of it for you. Now, I know that several people out here listening will have problems with mold, and you know you've got problems with mold. Until you can get a remediator to look at it and assess it, what you should do now at night is when you need oxygen more than any other time during the day. And I'm not a doctor. I'm just a subject matter expert. But you have a need for oxygen more than any other time during the day, simply because right before you hit that REM sleep, your breathing is shallow, your organs have shut down, you may as well be dead. But that's the time that you need oxygen more than any other time during the day. And mold spores tend to displace that oxygen. Mm-hmm. So when you wake up, you feel like you've been fighting all night. You're totally unrested. Now, one way to circumvent that short term is you can get a box fan as long as your security in your home permits it. If you're afraid somebody's going to come through the window, then you don't want to do this. You can take a box fan, put it on the room opposite your bedroom, and reverse it so that it blows out. Then in your bedroom, you can crack your window an inch or two so that it's pulling air across your body, mm-hmm. and you're not inhaling these spores and exhausting it to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
This is also good. Again, as long as you don't have problems with security, this is also a good way to exhaust those spores all day, really. So, yeah, it's, you know, that's short term.
Good piece of information. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Watkins. Nice to talk to you. I appreciate your program. I have a concern about a room at my job. It's the, I guess, the hydration room. We have a water and ice dispenser, and there is a large area where there's mold under the dispenser. The whole floor is black, and I have reported it several times. They say it's been cleaned, but the black area has not been removed. It's always present, and so my concern is people that go in several times a day just to refill their own water bottles. Is this something that I should do, or that I can do in addition to just complaining about that area?
Well, if you have a employer who's, and you may want to go up the ladder, you know, maybe one of them will be concerned and another won't, until you find somebody that's concerned. What's happening there is and you'll probably, if you look at the back wall behind that ice maker, it'll probably be black as well as the floor. You have heat being generated and exhausted, usually out of the back of the machine, and it gets to the floor. And that plus the moisture, the humidity that's created from that heat will cause over a period of time the wall and floor to get black. You really have to go to the employer at the proper time. I wouldn't say anything to them in front of everybody, because they'd like to deny the fact that there's mold in their workspace. But I would at first go and pull them to the side and tell them your concerns and ask if he can get rid of it, because mold is very dangerous.
Okay. All right. And is there a danger of, I try not to breathe because I just need to fill up something really quickly, but isn't there a serious danger to people that go in several times per day?
Yes. And you don't have to breathe. If it's warm, your pores will open up. And believe it or not, these spores can go through your pores.
Mm-hmm.
And the warmer it is, the more they open. So think about your ears, your eyes. There's a mold that causes keratitis, inflammation of the cornea.
Mm.
We've got thousands of types of mold. They all do different things, and none of them are good when they're in abundance. But you've got one that causes keratitis. You got one, some of them are just common allergens. And then you have the black moles. They call them that because they are black. Chitomin, Stachybotrys, those type moles. But they also call them that because they have a tar-like consistency. They're very sticky. So when you inhale them, they tend to stick to the tissue that they come into contact with in your sinuses and lungs.
Mm.
In fact, a lot of people go in for x-rays, chest x-rays, and they see spots on their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
It's my belief that a lot of it's molds, Stachybotrys and Chitomium, those type molds.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, caller. Once again, the number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Give us a call with a question or a comment. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Dr. Watkins, this is Dean again. I wasn't going to call in because I had spoke with you and your partner last week. But I've been a home inspector for years. And then I, back in the early 2000s, I got my license to be a mobile inspector. And the gentleman that has been speaking has been very informative. What I would like to suggest is that the people that are listening, if they have any question about it, you know, I haven't been a mold remediator. I've just been a mold inspector. You know, I'm the person that comes in and takes the sample of the air, or what they call a contact sample, you know, of something that feels suspicious.
Yes.
But, you know, people can go to online and look mold up. You know, they can get the names of the different types of mold and so forth, and they can kind of like educate themselves, but most people won't do that. But the gentleman is very right. You know, if you have vents in your air vent, air supply and return vents in your home, it's very important, you know, to be conscious of accumulation, you know, of that big vent. It's called a return vent. If it starts to collect, accumulate dust and so forth, that means that the system, you know, is being compromised because it's not being taken care of. That accumulation is a sign that you have to do something to clean the system. Now, there are professionals out there that do that, and I always recommend that those vents, you know, are cleaned. If you're in a building, in an apartment building, it's very, very common because those vents are very seldom, you know, cleaned, you know, from one tenant, you know, to the other. And there are millions of types of mold that mm-hmm. could compromise you. And you wonder why, you know, you're feeling, start to get symptoms of a variety of things like Aspergillus penicillium is a very common mold. And, you know, even though that you might see something that's black, there are different colors of mold. Black mold is common, you know, to a host of species. And like the gentleman says, you know, you can breathe this thing, you know. And one important thing, you know, to do would be, like your host is saying, you know, crack your windows, you know, if you're just a little bit. The important thing is to have the air inside your home or apartment, you know, to move. You want to ventilate the air. Cracking the windows allows some air to come in at the same time, will allow, you know, some air, you know, to escape. So you're keeping the air moving. And if the air becomes stagnant, that's, you know, a premium condition that will compromise you, you know, particularly older people and younger people, you know, people in apartments and so forth. You know, as soon as they move into an apartment, if that's where they are, you know, try to have the landlord, you know, to clean it. That's probably not going to happen. So it would probably be a good idea if you could afford a remediator to come in and clean the system. You know, we could talk, you know, for a couple of hours about mold, but the most important thing is to contact a remediator or contact a mold inspector. I don't have my license anymore. This conversation is encouraging me to get a license once again. And people have, most of all, have to be educated about it. So that's basically all I wanted to say.
I'd like to ask you a question, if you don't mind. Since you were a mold assessor, and this is something I meant to describe when I was asked, how do you know you have mold? You can get air spore trap tests done, as the gentleman is saying, and contact tests. If you see it, then you can take a bio tape and put on it, and then cover it up and seal it and send it to the laboratory. But we draw air through a cassette with a pump, and that air, or the cassette, has medium in it that traps the spores. We then seal that cassette up, send it to a laboratory, and the lab gives us a detailed report that tells us what type of mold it is, which is very important in treating it. If it's sticky, you know, you got some. If it's black mold, you know, you got some different treatments for that. It will give you a detail on how much is in there by giving you a spore count. And then if you have a good lab, it will tell you how those type molds found affect the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Now that test is relatively, I say relatively, some people may not think so, relatively inexpensive. We charge $125 per test. But then you can also get a mycotoxin test just by swiping the dust over top the doorways and windowsills. And that will tell you if you had, that gets a little more detail. They have to grow that. They put it in a petri dish and grow it for 7 days. But that's an excellent test to get because it gives you a lot more detail on exactly what you're up against.
Mm-hmm.
It even tells you what organs it goes to.
That's fantastic. We got a number of other callers. Let's quickly go back to our phones again. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hello there.
Yes.
Dr. Watkins, good afternoon to you and your guests. I have an issue with the basement of my mother's home. In moving things out, we discovered a lot of mold. Ashy, white-looking on the walls in the closet, we have determined that moisture had come through in one area. And we had someone to come out, and they told us that we would need to do a complete demo on the entire basement.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's acoustical tile in the ceiling, some of the tiles were removed, and it was discovered that there's a light coating, very light, but a coating nonetheless, on the floor joists.
Mm-hmm.
And that those wouldn't have to be removed, but they would have to be treated with some microbial solution or something.
Yes.
And you're suggesting then that a complete demolition is the only way to remediate the mold. Just a little bit and about 4 or 5 rooms. Not all the rooms, but it's there nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. So you have contamination in all rooms?
Yes, the closet in and mm-hmm. walls, lightly on the walls in two of the bedrooms down there. Mm-hmm. In the rec room, you can't really see it, but it was suggested that it was probably in the drywall.
Yes.
And we pulled the carpet tiles up off of the floor and threw all of that away. And we were told that we could just seal the vinyl tiles that are on the floor. Mm. But everything else would have to be demoed. And I'm trying to eliminate at a very expensive cost to have a demo to the studs and then have all new drywall put back in.
Yeah. Mm. It sounds like you have a heavy contamination problem. Do you know where the moisture, where the water came from? Was it a burst pipe in the ceiling? And oftentimes there are multiple issues with water infiltration.
Mm-hmm. So we think it came from the furnace room where the hot water tank and the furnaces in that room, and it was also a supply room for canned mm-hmm. goods and things like that. That particular wall is still cinder block.
Mm-hmm.
That wall, those two walls, they are cinder block. Everything else is drywall.
Yeah. First of all, I in your situation, I would not try to do any. I wouldn't move anything. Leave everything in place and let the remediator take care of it. And I concur with him that, it needs to be gutted simply because if you look at drywall, it looks smooth. But if you put it on under a microscope, it looks like the surface of the moon. You can actually see the mold spores sitting inside those pores.
Mm-hmm.
So if that drywall has been wet, it also loses its strength. So the carpet tiles, yes, they should go. The ceiling tiles, yes, they should go. And a biocide type material should be sprayed on those joists, and they should be scrubbed and then HEPA vacuumed.
Mm-hmm.
The whole area after everything is removed, the floors, the substrate up under the drywall has to be cleaned and HEPA vacuumed. Now, unfortunately, you've got a real serious problem that's going to cost. And I think that, the sooner you get it done, the better off you're going to be because you described a furnace and hot water heater being in that one of those rooms. That furnace, or air handler as it's known in the industry, will pull air through it. You got a return vent down there somewhere. So you're going to pull air through, and oftentimes, more often than not, I'll walk into a furnace room, and they don't have a door over top the air filter. So that air filter can be bypassed. When it's pulling air, it's bypassing the filter and going directly to the supply vents throughout the house, not just the basement, but throughout the house. So
it's baseboard heat, and there's no central air or anything. It's window air conditioners and baseboard heat.
Good. Excellent. But again, mold spores don't respect stairwells or doorways. So it may not be as much on the upper floors, but it'll still be a good idea to get a air spore trap sample done on each floor to see just what the volume is. Normally we go in and the area of concern has the most, but if it reached the first floor through a stairway or a wire chase or plumbing chase, it's going to be upstairs. Maybe not as heavy, but you need to know.
Okay.
Especially if you have elderly people living with you or children.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that very insightful question. The number is 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Let's call her. You're on the line.
Would that be me?
Yes.
Hello. Yes, Dr. Watkins, I appreciate your show. Been doing so for many years. And Mr. Hawkins, thank you for your expertise on this. I had a very brutal experience in a separate building. It's on a downhill from a large hill, and water over the years found its way to the foundation of that building. And I couldn't afford a remediator, and I did a whole lot of research. As I say, it was not in my home. It was outside in another building. So I had the benefit of being able to, demo. I hired a contractor who was very respectful of the dangers. However, the contractor, and I have spoken to many contractors over time, who swear up and down, they believe firmly that bleach will kill mold. And the research that I did indicated, no, it doesn't kill the mold completely, that its roots of mold remain. Is that the case?
Well, bleach will cause mold to go dormant. It will appear to have killed it, but to give you an example, I had a fellow who had a spot on his basement wall, and I went in, I told him the wall should be cut out. He didn't want to bear that expense, so he took bleach, wiped the spot off, and he put a coat of Kills on it, and then a fresh coat of paint over top that. Then he went on vacation. Nobody likes to pay for air conditioning when they're on vacation.
Oh, no.
A house that's unoccupied. So he turned the air off, and while he was on 2-week vacation, the humidity built up in that house enough to bring that mold right back. Mm-hmm. And when he returned, that same spot that he thought he'd kill had telescoped through the coat of Kills and the paint. It was in the same shape. This stuff is biblical as well. In Leviticus, right after God talks about leprosy, which he treats leprosy the same way he does mold.
Yeah.
And Leviticus 14, verse 35 through to the end of the chapter, he tells you what to do and tells you that the homeowner should go to the priest and tell him, it seems there's a plague in my home.
Mm-hmm.
The priest is to go in and cause everything in the home to be removed, that it not be contaminated. The only thing that could contaminate everything in the house are mold spores that are not seen with the naked eye.
Yep.
So then he tells the priest to tell him where to look for the mold on the foundation walls and in between the floor joists. They call them staves. And to shut the house up for 7 days, come back. And if the plague has spread to cause the entire house to be scraped round about, they used to plaster back in those days. So, in other words, remove the drywall like the previous caller was talking about.
Yeah.
Get it out of there. Take the stones and the foundation walls that had the coloring on it and remove it. And, shut the house. And he tells them to blend a mixture together. We have a fogging method that we use. Because fog is the only thing that penetrates every crack and crevice of your home. It penetrates the clothing in your closet, and that's where the spores like to get trapped. We fog the entire home. We fog the ductwork system and sanitize it. But, it can come back if you don't remove like the Leviticus tells you, and like that remediator the young lady was talking
about. That was the Leviticus what?
Leviticus 14, verse 35 through to the end of the chapter. Now, before 14, God talks about leprosy, and he told them to treat leprosy the same way. Now, he also says that you should, after you do the remediation, you got a fogging process. He tells them to bring in two birds, some twine, slay one of the birds, put the bird's blood into that mixture. I found this simply by error doing a Bible study, me and the wife, years ago. And he tells them to blend in hyssop, cedar wood, scarlet, along with the bird's blood. Well, the bird's blood provides enzymes. We don't use bird blood, but we use plant enzymes in our formula. And that gives you long-term protection. But he says to bring in two birds, but only slay one. And I said to myself after reading it, he's got to be talking, the plague is mold. There's no question about it. And I said that, God, you never speak frivolously. You said, bring in two birds. What are you doing with the live bird and the twine? Whoever put this mixture together is sprinkling it around the house seven times. I didn't get it. What's he doing with the live bird and the string? Well, I went to bed, woke up, went right to my knees. Whoever's falling, whoever is sprinkling this mixture around the house seven times, and these are all antibacterial ingredients, is being followed by someone with that live bird's leg tied to that string. First of all, they dip that bird in the solution, and then they follow around, and that bird is staying airborne by flapping his wings, causing the droplets that's being dropped to be miniaturized or aerosolized. They're fogging.
That's great.
Yeah. And then he goes on to tell you how to, don't the workers don't go home. They must bathe a certain way.
Right.
He tells you what to do with the live birds. You could simply open the door and let him out. No, he tells them to take them to an open field. Then he tells you what to do. Come back and check again after you shut the house up 7 days. And if the plague is still there, to tear the house down and take all of the material to the unclean place outside the city, to the city dump. He doesn't want spores around people. And if God gave that much detail on how to get rid of it, we need to pay attention.
Yes,
look, Brother Al,
yes.
we're out of time, but there are calls on. We're going to have to bring you back because people have questions, and there's even questions that I still have. So we're going to have to get you back here. So we will check your schedule and see. Maybe be able to get you back next week if you're available.
I'm available. This is what I do, give people information about mold.
All right.
Give me your contact information real quick.
301-261-4935.
Do that again.
301-261-4935. And you'll get a recording, but leave a message and I'll get right back to you.
All right. And he's good. I had him in my house.
Yeah.
And I had his son in my house.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Watkins and Al Hawkins, for your immense information. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike and Kalia, for your engineering skills. Mayuki, Acting General Director, General Manager, Katia Stitt, Program Director, and all of the WPFW staff, programmers, listeners, and volunteers. Thank you, Maka B, for your music contribution. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. Thank you for Joni Eisenberg for your contributions as well. After that is To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Stay tuned and listen in next Monday at 2 o'clock for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. The White House is responding to concerns over reports of a follow-up strike that killed survivors on an alleged drug boat in the Caribbean in September of this year. It was first reported that after the United States made its first strike on the alleged drug boat, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth gave a verbal order to leave no survivors. Therefore, a follow-up strike was ordered to comply with those instructions, killing two survivors in the water. When asked about this second strike yesterday, President Trump said that he personally would not have wanted a second strike, and he also seemed to cast doubt on the idea that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had even ordered the strike, with Hegseth himself claiming that the report was fabricated. Now, though, the White House is saying that Admiral Frank M. Bradley, commander of the U.S. Special Operations Command, was responsible for ordering that second targeted strike on the alleged drug boat in the Caribbean after the first strike did not kill everyone on board. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt said that Admiral Bradley, who was authorized by Hegseth, acted well within his authority to order the second strike, even claiming it was self-defense. Today, a federal appeals court ruled that Alina Haba, President Trump's former personal attorney, has been serving unlawfully as the U.S. attorney for New Jersey, thus disqualifying her as the state's top prosecutor. This ruling was made by a panel of three appellate judges with the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which upheld a lower court's decision that the Trump administration violated the law when using a series of maneuvers to install Alina Haba in the prosecutor position after failing to win Senate support. This ruling is similar to one last week when a district court threw out two indictments against former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James after ruling that Lindsey Halligan had been serving unlawfully as the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. Since May of this year, the Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, has required anyone who is 18 years of age or older who plans to fly within the United States domestically or visit certain federal facilities to have a real ID or another acceptable form of ID like a U.S. passport. Today, the TSA announced that beginning next year, February 1, 2026, travelers going through airport security checkpoints without a real ID or passport will face a $45 fee. TSA says that this fee, which was previously $18, will cover the administrative and IT costs associated with the ID verification program and ensure that the expense is covered by the travelers and not the taxpayers. If a traveler comes to the airport without a real ID or another acceptable form of ID, TSA will require those individuals to verify their identity through a biometric or biographic system before they're permitted to cross the checkpoint, a process that could take up to 30 minutes with no guarantees. Today, Cyber Monday, is the last day of the Thanksgiving blackout in D.C. This blackout, orchestrated by the economic action campaign We Ain't Buying It, asks consumers to avoid shopping at Target, Home Depot, and Amazon between Thanksgiving and today because of those stores cooperating with or contributing to the Trump administration in some manner, including the removal of diversity efforts and allowing ICE raids on store property. On Saturday, activists in D.C. held a protest outside a Target store in Columbia Heights. Speaking at that protest, Tamika Mallory expressed urgency about this movement.
All of us who are here and those who have been here for 36 weeks are doing the work for our survival. This is not something to play around with. Yes, we sing songs, we have joy, but this is serious business, brothers and sisters. And you are a part of history.
The We Ain't Buying It campaign urges consumers to use the busiest shopping season of the year to support small local businesses or mutual aid efforts in the community. In today's weather, it's currently about 46 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe, and thank you for listening.